We started last week looking at, if you haven't had one of these cards, has everybody had one of these cards? Yeah. It's our vision for the church. And I looked at what our vision is last week, and you can it's on the internet, so you're able to listen to it there. But this week we're looking at our mission statement. Again, it's all about what we're to be and who will enable us to be that. And as a church, Durbar Evangelical Church, we want to be known as our vision states. We want to be known throughout Coventry, but especially locally, as loving followers of Jesus Christ, doing what is good, right and faithful before the Lord our God. And that's a massive question to ask ourselves. Do people see us as loving followers of Jesus Christ? Do they know that we love the Lord? Or do they have another picture of us? I have over the years, people come and speak to me about not here actually, but in other churches they've come and they've said, my father or my mother or my, are not the same at home as they are at church. And you see, this is, the gospel is wholesale. The gospel changes us, and we are the same throughout our spheres, whether we're at home or work or church. Now, we are a bit more laid back at home, aren't we? We haven't got to be on attention as we are anywhere else. And we can sometimes, our wives will say that as men we can be a bit grumpy, and our men can say our wives are whatever. And there are lists of things. We're not always what we should be, because it's hard to live as we should all the time. But nevertheless, there should be that desire. That generally, if we fall out with someone, we should be quick to sort it out. There are times when it's impossible. But generally, we should be seen as people who just want to seek peace. That we are people who seek the blessing of those around us. Now, I left you with two questions last week. You may have forgotten them and may not have even considered them, but I'll remind you anyway. Do you know that life within? Do you know that change within? Has there been an encounter with the Lord? Do you know that the presence of God living within you? And if you do, how are you being salt and light to those who watch on? If God has transformed you from within, and you'll know what I'm talking about, because you'll know it. Because it happens. When it happens, there is a moment in your life when God steps into your life and changes you forever. Now, you may have been young. There are some that say, well, I was very young. Well, that happens. And often what happens, and you grow up in a Christian home, and often what happens, you come to a certain stage in your life, you've always believed in God, you trust in Calvary, you trust that God has died for you, but there comes a moment where there's a decision, a choice is made, where you realise that you need to start getting serious. You have to commit yourself to a place of worship. You have to stop playing about. You have to start feeding your own selfish desires, and you say, now I need to put my shoulders to the plough. I need to commit myself to the local church. Come what may, whatever pains come my way, I am going to give myself to the work of Jesus Christ. So how am I being salt and light to those who watch on? So that was the first thing we looked at last week. And we looked at the fact that unless there's been a transforming work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, by the power that works in the gospel, we will never be salt and light. It is absolutely impossible. If you've never been saved, you need to get on your knees and come before the Lord and say, Lord, open my eyes. You It's no good asking questions. It's no good going on and on. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes that I will see. You have said, seek me with all your heart and you will find me. No, what a day that would be. Now, before we look at our mission statement, we need, as a reminder, I was talking to the leaders this week, and they were saying, look, we need to remind ourselves of how it came to be. It wasn't just something one day. We thought it up, and we have been to the church. We had a members' meeting. We brought it to the church and said we would share this on one Sunday. But to have a newly appointed eldership earlier on in the year, we realised that we faced an impossible task ahead. As we look at the size of our fellowship, as we look at all the jobs that need to be done, it's impossible. You know, you can't be an ostrich and bury your head in the sand. It can't be done. You will either die or fizzle out. We don't want that to happen, don't we? We want to grow. We want the people around to see that we are living and vibrant. We've had numerous people ask if the church is for sale. We had a man ask only 2 weeks ago if that building over there was vacant. And the person they were talking to said, that's part of the church. And they didn't realise they wanted to open a bazaar, I think. They'd probably do really well if you open a bazaar up, but we don't want that. We are here to proclaim the gospel. We are here for people to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. We want the windows to look nice. We want to get a work party and tie you all around the back here. We want to get the painting done. We want it to look open and alive. We faced a difficult and impossible task. We felt very vulnerable with no clear purpose. What was our purpose as a church and as a leadership? But we knew in our hearts what we longed for. And that we would be known as followers of Jesus Christ with the greatest message the world has ever heard, which is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We want people to know about our Saviour. Now there may come a stage as we go forward as a church, as we begin to grow, like I believe God will make us grow, you will have a choice to make. To either go forward or not grow. You might never grow because you choose, I don't want this. I'm not going to commit myself to the things of God. Now it's different. You may be going through difficult times and you can't always do the things that you would like to do, but you've got the desire. The desire is there. The question is, do you have the desire to be committed to Durbar Evangelical Church? It was after much prayer, discussion and meetings we finally felt led by God, God's word and the Holy Spirit to bring before you the church, a vision which we began to look at last week. And our mission statement, as we have indicated in the leaflet, is a brief description of our fundamental purpose. And you think, what on earth? Well, we explain it. Why does the church exist? Why are we here? What is the point of it? You know, there are often things in our streets, and you think, what's that with you? What are those yellow boxes there? What are they for? Those yellow boxes that are full of sand. We don't have any snow. What's the point of them? Well, they are. They're there, aren't they? They're usually by hills. And they're there so that you can put salt on roads that are dangerous. There's a purpose for them. And the question is, why are we here? What is the point of Durbar Evangelical Church? And it's such an important question. What is the very point? What is the point, rather, of our existence? There in 1923, this church was established. The proclamation of the gospel. What was the point of all the sacrifices made to maintain witness. What was the point of it? What is the point when we feel so low in numbers at times of carrying God? What is the point of our existence if individuals refuse to count the cost and put their shoulders to the plough and commit totally to the work here? What is the point? Do you ever feel like not carrying on? Well, there may have been a day when I felt like that, but not now. God has gathered around me two great leaders. God has gathered around me a great membership. And hopefully as we go forward, we will know the presence of God leading and guiding us. So why are we here? Well, on the direction there, on the overhead, it says that through the direction and enabling of His Holy Spirit, we will seek out God and work together wholeheartedly in everything that we undertake in the service of God's church and in obedience to His law and His commands. Firstly, what does it mean through the direction and enabling of His Holy Spirit? What is that all about? There is a person that we will speak about in a moment that takes residence in our heart and begins to lead and to guide us. Now, I'm sure you'd agree with me that the statement before us has some quite heavy principles that the Holy Spirit is going to help in. Direction. At least it's a narrow path, isn't it? You know, when you follow a certain direction, it's not always easy. It can feel monotonous. It can feel as if it goes on and on. Enabling. What does that mean? It isn't going to be easy. It's hard work. You know, have you ever been doing a job and you think, I can't do another step? There have been times, it hasn't happened for a long time, but a friend at a building company, and sometimes he'd say, you couldn't give us a handbook or so many hundreds of bags of cement that are going to be delivered and we need them moving. And there'd be a train of men and boy, here, I don't know how many bags of cement up. Your first time you get strong, but after a while your knees are buckling and you're thinking, I can't do this anymore, and you can see it, all the other men are feeling a bit like it, none of them want to make defeat, and it's hard work in the Christian world. It's not easy. Constant temptations, constant desires to give up. Fear, I know for myself, standing on the steps on a Sunday afternoon, terrified me. I get up, I'm loud, I think I'm clear. I preach the gospel, but I get nervous. But I know that He goes before me and enables. Wholeheartedly. That means everything. You know, it's one thing, isn't it, on an evening when I have a teaspoon of that clotted cream, I'm wholeheartedly committed to it. Oh, the feeling as it goes round my mouth and the cream as it sinks in my tongue and the thickness of it is just amazing. I can't wait for the next night. And you see, but there are things that we do and we're committed to in the church, we're not wholeheartedly committed. We do it out of necessity, or we do it out of a habit, which habits are good, but we do it begrudgingly sometimes. But you see, we're told that we're to commit ourselves totally and utterly to the things of God. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, the Lord Jesus, meek and mild, and people have these pictures of Him, and He was the one who said, if you're not committed, you're not fit to be part of the kingdom of heaven. Undertake. That means that's talking about no going back. It's hard, isn't it? Sometimes we want to go back. No going back. It gives us that picture of servanthood and obedience. We are committed to the way ahead, and we are sold out. It's like saying to the Lord, we are selling ourselves into slavery for you to be our master, leading and guiding us. In fact, Jesus tells his disciples, he knows how difficult it will be. He knows that we will struggle. He knows there will be times when we will want to give up. He knows that the church is made up of people, and people don't always work together as smoothly as an oil machine. But you see, the Holy Spirit is like our oil in a sense. He causes us to work together. And he says there in John 14, he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to me and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me. And he's saying, listen, if you love me, and he'll tell us in a minute about the Holy Spirit, he says, listen, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, you'll allow my word to direct your path. But if we do that in our own strength, the thought of living for Jesus is impossible. If we were to attempt to go forward as a church alone, it would be utter madness. But the Lord Jesus told his disciples that when he ascended into heaven, he would send another who would be a helper. He said, listen, you are to live by my word. You are to allow it to be sunk into your heart. Hide it there. Live by it. Allow it to direct you. But listen, and we have to bear in mind there are some people, and it's error, it's wrong. They will say Jesus went so that he could come back in another form. That's not the case. The Lord Jesus went, ascending into heaven, and he sent the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to come and dwell with us, to take residence in our hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, he says in John 16. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me. You see, the world hated Jesus. They did not believe in Jesus. They didn't want him. They had him crucified. And he says, listen, the Holy Spirit will come, and he will indwell your heart, and he will stir in the hearts of young men and young women, of older men and older women. He is the one that will convict them of their sin. Now, the whole concept of the Holy Spirit is not an easy reality to grasp. For many people, the Godhead is difficult, and we'll never understand the Trinity. It's such a vast subject. We were talking about this the other day. There was a young lad, Augustine, an old theologian, one of the early church fathers, said he was trying to understand the Trinity. And he says, as I was walking along the seashore, there was a little lad digging a hole, trying to get the ocean to come into the hole. Then he realised the vastness of the ocean could not be contained in that little hole, but some of it. And he was saying the vastness of the whole subject of the Holy Trinity we cannot grasp in our little mind, yet we can grasp something of his magnitude. One God, three persons. In the Eastern Orthodox, they say three persons, one God. But nevertheless, it is the Trinity who have worked together so that you might have life eternal. And you see, when you are born again, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes residence in your heart. And he becomes a part of your life. Yes, we understand, don't we, what it is to be a father. We understand the concept. You talk about father, and some father is wicked. Some father, you don't want them to be a father. Some fathers are lovely. But we understand a father should be someone who protects you, someone who cares for you, someone who loves you, someone who provides a safe home. That's what a father is. We understand that concept. We understand the concept of a son, don't we? A son who, there's some bad sons and good sons, and the concept of a son is someone who would listen to their father and in a normal home grow to love the father, and in such times as the father dies he can care for his mother, or his mother dies he can be there for his friend and care for his father. We understand that concept. The concept of the Holy Spirit is something that we have to know. He is someone who comes and takes residence in our hearts. I was trying to intimate my feelings on the whole business of the Holy Trinity, and I came across a quote from John MacArthur, and he said this. I still believe this. If you know the Lord as your Saviour, you'll understand this. He said, "I love the Holy Spirit. As a believer, I love the communion I enjoy with him. I love the truth about the Holy Spirit that I have come to understand from Scripture. I love the intimacy of having him lead in my life and direct me. I love the way he comes to me, as it were, through the lives of other believers who by his gifts minister to me. I love all that scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. And I think you, if you think about it, understand why I say all that. The gift of the Holy Spirit is precious to me, and I am sure to you as well." I just thank God for the Holy Spirit, who convicts me of my sin. The Holy Spirit comes and encourages me. The Holy Spirit who makes the Word of God alive to me. The Holy Spirit will use one of you to come and convict me, or to share with me, or to encourage me. It's incredible his work as he works in us as a church. Having the Holy Spirit as your comforter, your advocate, your guide, your friend is an amazing reality. The more you know his presence, the more you enjoy the presence of the Father and of the Son. You see, that's what he's all about. He's all about causing us to glorify God. The more you glory, the more you linger, the more you bask in their presence, your whole grasp of what is important changes. And you'll see things differently. You'll see things differently about this vote with Europe. You'll see things differently about the whole business of immigration. You'll see things differently about your finances, about your work situation, about your family. When you see it in the light of the glory of God, it raises you to a different plane. Romans 8 says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh." In other words, if you don't love the Lord, your mind will be dominated by your Lord. Your mind will be dominated by your health. Your mind will be dominated by your circumstances. Your mind will be dominated by, there is no hope for us. But you see, those who will live by the Spirit will walk according to the things of the Spirit. And they will see God in Europe as he's caused this vote. They will see God raising up kings and bringing them down. They will see God in the change of nations. God, if he wanted to, could cause the whole of Africa to just migrate up to the United Kingdom if he wanted to. If God wanted to change the face of America, he could change the face of America. If God wanted to change South America into a Protestant nation, he could change it overnight. If God wanted to change the Vatican, he could change it overnight. But you can only grasp that when the Holy Spirit is your friend and your comforter and guide. So then, through the direction and enabling of this Holy Spirit, we will seek our God and work together wholeheartedly in everything that we undertake in the service of God's church and in obedience to his law and his commands. You need to take that away and read it and meditate upon it. And ask yourself, what is God asking me to do? You see, the Holy Spirit will direct and enable us. But how? Well, God has given us the Bible. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration or breathed out of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now the toilet was broken and two men set about fixing it. I went and got all the bits and I fitted them all together, but there's still a little leak. I was coming down this week to do it. But Lionel came yesterday and he just did some tweaking and it's fixed. It's complete. You can use that toilet now. It's complete. It's fixed. It worked. Because we work together. And you see, when we as Christians allow the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit who works in us, we will be seen before the world as complete. Not only has God given us the Bible, he's given us the church. John 3 verse 34 says it. John 13 verse 34 says, a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now that's not always easy, is it? When we irritate one another. That's not easy when we allow the negatives to pull us down. That's not easy when we toil. We've had a bad night. We've had a difficult day. We've had a hard time at home. It's not easy. But you know, unless we do love one another, there's no point in going on. There is no point of this church's existence if we do not love one another. And in the weeks that lie ahead, we'll continue to look at this mission statement. It isn't the end product. This is just a guide to guide us, to show us how to live. The question is, are we willing? Are we willing to give ourselves to the work of Christ the Lord? This last 20 years, this last 10 years, this last 30 years, I've not actually been as upset. You may be, there are things in your life that are stopping you committing yourself to work. You know, there comes a day when the Lord says, choose you this day. There will come a day when God will say, choose you this day. If you do not choose, he will not ask again. The Bible says, I will not always strive with man. There comes a day when God will say, no more. I'll finish with this. I remember on a communion Sunday, I was going out with a girl, and all I thought about was this girl. Nothing wrong with 40. Nothing wrong with having a girlfriend. Nothing wrong in these things. But she was everything to me. That's all I thought about. And the Lord said to me one communion morning, choose you this day. And I remember singing that song, Open Closer Walk with God, and the middle verse says, the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from my throat and worship only thee. It was really hard. But you see, I had the strength that day to say, Lord, forgive me. Because that day he said to me, if you continue in this way, I am not striving with you anymore. Commit to me, or I will not speak. And our prayer is, isn't it, that we will choose this day. And we will say, Lord, my life's a mess, or I haven't committed as I should, but Lord, help me, that I may taste of all the wonders of what you have done. Amen. We're going to turn to our final hymn, and some of you may know this, some of you might not. It's a very old hymn. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hand the wonderful King that shall unclasp and set me free. These are difficult truths. Lord, it's hard to be wholly and totally and utterly committed. But Lord, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, oh, that you would work in us, that you would enliven us. Lord, that we would know the joy of serving you. And Father, for any here that are battling, Lord, that they would see their utter need. Lord, that they may choose even this day. Oh, open their eyes, dear Father. They may choose to follow you. Oh, Lord, we pray that they would know the reality of the gospel in their heart. Father, we ask these things now in the name of our wonderful Saviour. Amen. Amen.